as the hunter relentlessly pursues and follows and tracks his game, so the Christian is to follow and pursue peace and holiness. The necessity of pursuing holiness is forcefully stated by the writer of Hebrews when he says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, the Lord here is our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's some things you and I can do without. Not holiness. Holiness is indispensable if you are to see the Lord. Holiness or sanctification. Many translations use this word, sanctification. The NAS is one of them. So it is a proper translation here of the Greek. But holiness or sanctification is not optional. It's not an extra. But is of the very essence of being a Christian. We read it very clearly. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. To be allowed a sight of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a motive, if you please, to pursue holiness. The desire and the prospect of seeing the Lord and of enjoying His comfortable presence spurs on the Christian to persevere in holiness despite all the difficulties, and there will be many. As Christians, we look unto Jesus, who from start to finish, we look unto Jesus in our race, in our Christian race. The race begins with the sight of the Lord Jesus, and it will end by beholding Him whom we love above all others. My subject today is the necessity of holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's God's word. That's not my word. Now, think with me for a few minutes about what it is to see the Lord. What does this mean? Well, I want to say, first of all, sometimes things need to be said in two different ways. And I want us to think about this very subject, a very important subject. No man can see the Lord. And yet, by faith, it is implied we will see the Lord. And yet no man, the Bible tells us, can see the Lord. Perhaps I should give you the summary verse, though there are many others I could give you as well. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, where we read these words. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And I read verse 16 instead of verse 6. Who only, speaking of God, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So there is a clear statement that we cannot see God. And yet the implication is that we will see God. In the Bible, we are said to see in two ways, at least. With the physical eye of the body, and second, with the spiritual eye of the soul. Now, God is a spirit, or spirit. He is spirit. And therefore, He cannot be seen with the eye of the body. not with the physical eye. Now, God became, through his Son, incarnate. God the Son became the incarnate God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he eternally took to himself the properties of a body, as well as the whole nature of man. But our Lord Jesus Christ has been glorified, and he's been taken out of this world, not out of his body. It is still a body. He still has a body. There is flesh and blood seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. But we don't see him. He's ascended. He cannot be seen, therefore, on the earth. The Christian has seen the Lord, however, with the eyes of the soul. And these are at least two. One is the eye of understanding. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18 speaks of this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And secondly, there is another eye, the eye of faith, which we read of in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 27th verse, where it says there, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he could see the one who is invisible. So faith is compared to the eyes of the soul, as well as the understanding to the eyes of the soul. Perhaps they're both to be understood in this place. Sin blinds the eye of the soul, both of understanding and faith. And holiness heals and opens the eyes of the blind, of the soul. Those who have been blinded by sin have the eyes opened by holiness. So spiritual sight is restored through holiness. So if you wish to see the Lord, you must have sight given to you again, that the blindness of your soul may be taken away, and you might see the Lord. A soul that is destitute of holiness is blind. It has no ability to see and to enjoy the Lord's presence. It cannot see, either with the understanding or faith. In this world, you who are Christians are promised the Lord's presence in his word and in his sacraments and in prayer. This is why the church ought to guard the means of grace very carefully. Prayer as well as the Lord's Supper and the Word of God. Not everybody preaches, not in public. Now, when you and I enjoy the felt presence of God, it is then as if we see him with the eyes of our understanding and of faith. His felt presence in this life of sinful unbelief, however, is often very brief and interrupted and transitory. The felt presence of God comes, as it were, for a short time upon us. It's interrupted sometimes and very transitory. It does not last. This is part of our sadness and our misery in the world. In the world to come, Christians shall experience the continual, constant presence and glory of the Lord without any interruption forever and ever. Heaven is a more intimate knowledge of Christ and a complete conformity to Christ. Let me read to you from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Though we cannot see God, we will one day see Christ again. And this is our great desire, our longing, our pursuit, that we might see him and be like him when we see him. You know, people sometimes grow together older and they begin to look alike. I don't mean that they always do, they don't. But sometimes they even begin to look alike as they live together through the years. And we will see Christ as he is, and we will look somewhat like him inwardly. And that is our great desire. Now, an unholy man, a man not sanctified, is unable to see the Lord in his sinful condition. He's unfit to enjoy him in heaven. So the unholy man, the unsanctified individual, cannot see God in this world, never feels the presence of God, or rarely, if ever. And in the world to come, he will be unfit for heaven. Therefore, pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now you've begun to see what we are to do. But what is holiness? Maybe you're asking, you should be asking that. What is holiness? That we might pursue it. Because we're going to track it down. We're going to follow it. Well, let me say what it is not. We often have to say what things are not before we can say what they are. It is not mere knowledge, for many have an intellectual knowledge about the Lord who are not holy. It's not a profession merely. Judas made a high profession of faith. It's not just a profession. It's not an experience. Balaam had a very unusual experience, didn't he? But he did not know God. Not really. It's not mere morality, though there will be moral behavior, character, and so forth. It's not mere morality, as we see by the rich young ruler, who was told by the Lord Jesus he would not behold the Lord. It's not taking pleasure in hearing preachers, because Herod the Tetrarch took great pleasure in hearing John the Baptist. But he was not saved. It is not meritorious in any sense of the word. Holiness is not meritorious. We come too far short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the standard. And it's way down here that we would come and measure up a little bit higher, a little bit lower, up and down. No merit in this holiness. What is the true practical holiness that we're speaking of? It's being of one mind with God and hating, therefore, what God hates and loving what God loves. That is practical holiness. Not alone, there's more. It is a holy fear of God. Not a servile fear, not a cringing fear, but a holy fear of God. And third, a holy man will endeavor to shun every single sin and to keep every single commandment of God. He will endeavor. I didn't say he will accomplish. No, but he will endeavor if he's holy. A holy man will strive to be like the Lord Jesus. What did Christ do? That I will do as I live my life in this world. Holiness means a life of self-denial. Not just self-denial, that's only the beginning. But it will be a life that is loving, a life that is merciful, a life that is pure in heart, a life that is faithful in all of its duties, a life that is humble and contrite before the Lord. A holy man is a man who is spiritually minded. He minds the things of the Spirit of God. Obedience could sum it all up. A life of obedience from the heart. All of this the holy man will follow after and pursue. And he will do it from the heart. Yet in this life of holiness or sanctification, there is progression. It's progressive. Therefore, it is an imperfect work. The flesh lusteth after the Spirit, says Galatians 5:17. So it is an imperfect work. Nevertheless, gold is still gold, even though it is mixed with an alloy. Practical holiness in this world consists more in hungering and in following and in pursuing than it does in actually achieving and attaining and arriving at holiness. Yet when every allowance has been made, we have to be careful to say this, when every allowance has been made, no man is holy who willfully goes on in sin and who will not humbly and with a broken and repentant heart, cast away his sins as much as he's able, as far as it is possible. He is holy, not holy, who willfully, habitually rejects his duty. John Owen has rightly said, "I do not understand how a man can be a true believer unto whom sin is not the greatest burden, sorrow, and trouble." Let me say it again. I do not understand how a man can be a true believer unto whom sin is not the greatest burden, sorrow, and trouble. Are you broken with your sins? You have the beginnings of holiness, at least, maybe more than many will ever have. So we begin to see that holiness by its very nature is not an extra. It is not an option. Holiness is indispensable for salvation. Now what do I mean? Indispensable. Well, it cannot be dispensed with. Well, then, can my holiness save me? Can anyone's holiness save a sinner? Can it pay our debt of sin that it owes and satisfy our guilt and cleanse from our filthiness, the filthiness of the sins? No! 1,000 times, no! I'm not indicating this at all! And yet those who are saved are being saved, at least, or saved from their sins. Again, I have to say what I do not mean in order to say what I mean. And I must say, first of all, there is no merit in all of our holiness, in all of the sanctification that you could ever perform, even if you could measure up higher than anyone in the world. Except the Lord Jesus, of course. But here is why holiness is necessary for salvation. I'm going to tell you, not to merit your salvation. But it is because Christ came for one purpose into this world, to make us holy. And he will accomplish his purpose, at least at last, and even before the last. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 we read, and I could read many places, probably should, because this is something that people sometimes stumble over. We are his workmanship, Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is a purpose that God has in sending Christ into the world, that he would make us holy. I could read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Maybe I should. I think I will. I need to help you see this. And he that died for all that they might, and he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. This is a strange expression. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, he had lived in the days when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, and he knew Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. But he knows Christ, not after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, we might say. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the purpose that Christ came for, that he might make all things new, including us, especially us. Titus 2:14, but I will not read that. I will forbear. And many other places as well. Christ came for this purpose, to make us holy. And our holiness is also the purpose for which Christ sent his Spirit into our hearts. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was weak because of the flesh. Where's the flesh? In us. You see, it's our flesh that's weak. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, there is a purpose that he had in sending the Spirit, and that was to make us holy. And thirdly, not only did Christ come for that purpose and the Spirit was sent for that purpose, but holiness is the only sound evidence that you and I have of a saving, believing on the Lord Jesus, that we are savingly believing, that we believe savingly. Because we are holy, more or less. At least we are pursuing it. At least we are loving it. We desire it more than anything in the world. And we hate the sin that does so grieve him. And fourthly, without holiness, you are unfit for heaven. I have to say this clearly. You cannot go to heaven when you die with an unholy heart. You will not go to heaven when you die, if you die. And you will. With an unholy heart. You see, at death the gulf is set between this world and the next, and it cannot be bridged, as we've seen in the history of Dives and Lazarus. The unholy shall not be received into the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Revelation 2, 15. You see, heaven is a perfectly holy place. What enjoyment could the unholy find there? Those who shun and despise holiness would find heaven to be an intolerable misery. To be confined in a place in a holy place with holy people would be misery for the unholy who hate holiness. So if you would go to heaven, you must first be holy in heart, holy in your desires, holy in your appetites, holy in all of your aims and purposes. I ask, therefore, are you holy? Listen to this question. Do you know anything of holiness in heart and life? Do you love what God loves? And do you hate what God hates? Are you holy? A great man of God said, did Christ die and shall sin live? The Christian has been crucified with Christ. Crucified to the world, and the world to him. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And my final word to everyone, do you desire to be holy? Would you be holy? Would you be a new creation? Well, you must begin with Christ. The only root of true holiness is found in Christ. You must be joined to him by faith. You must be born again. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. Would you attain more holiness, achieve more holiness, however little it may be? Would you continue to be holy? You must go to Christ. If you would begin to be holy, you must go to Christ. If you would continue to be holy, you must go to Christ. There is no place for you to go but to Christ. Holiness comes from Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit whom he has sent into the world. You must go to Christ and to the Holy Spirit. And he sent that Spirit into the heart of every believer to make them more and more holy. The Holy Spirit will make us holy. Do not think that you in your own strength will ever attain to this or maintain any of this holiness. The flesh is weak, but Jesus is strong. Stronger than death, stronger than sin, stronger than hell. The Holy Spirit is able to conform you to the image of Christ. Oh, but you say, I have sinned and I'm unholy already. I know. You never will be any different if you stay where you are. You must come to Jesus. Don't let sin keep you away from the Lord Jesus. He is your hope, your only hope, but your hope now and forever. Your hope of heaven. Go to Christ before you sin. But go to Christ every morning. Go to Christ every afternoon, every evening. Before you live, go to Christ. And before you die, go to Christ. Before you stumble into sin, go to Christ. And after you've stumbled into sin, go to Christ. When sin first begins to rise within you, go to Christ. When sin has gained a foothold in you and you're struggling against it, but go to Christ. If sin has gotten, as it is, a hold upon you, in a way that you never thought it would again. Go to Christ. Never stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites you to come, and he gives you what he desires. He gives you holiness. He can and he will make you holy. No, it will not be without your striving, but it will be through your consent and your desire and your agonizing even to be holy. Christ, however, is the only one who can make you holy, and he will. Go, therefore, to Christ. Cast yourself upon him and his mercy, every one of you, at every point, at every time in life. Come to Christ. Come now to Christ. And find mercy and grace to help. And he will. So would you be holy? Is that your desire? Go where you can find the one who will help. The God of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. He can help. Oh, he is mighty to help and to save all who come unto God through him. Let us stand together for prayers. Father, we would come to the Lord Jesus now. We would come again to the Lord Jesus. We would come always to the Lord Jesus because we long to be holy and to cast out every sin. And we cannot. We've already sinned, even this very day, maybe in this very hour. May we come, therefore, to the Lord Jesus and find grace to help in this our time of need, and always in our time of need. He has promised to give us what we lack and cannot give ourselves. A holy heart and mind and faith to look to him. Even now, may he give to you faith to look and to find holiness. Yes, to find pardon and peace, but to find holiness as well. For without this holiness, no man will see the Lord. In Jesus' name we make these prayers. Amen.